Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, we would normally going to be doing guided meditation, but our co-host, Kelly, is a little under the weather and not feeling well. So we wish Kelly well, and, you know, she is going to get the help that she needs. What I do have here is my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Now, one of the, I think what we decided that I would do is today I would interview Barbara. I think one of the things that's always kind of amazed me about Barbara is how she maintains a positive attitude even when things are hard. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into the things that she says that she's been through because that's not her, my business. But
it
I
is
mean,
your business
like,
if you know about them.
Yeah, but I don't want it on the air. I mean, and everybody to know.
Well,
if you don't want to tell anybody, you know.
No, but
Johnny,
the latest thing that has happened, you know, not yet, but eventually, I want to do a show on it because I know a lot of women deal with that, and it's going to be a good show to kind of expose the issue. And yeah, so. But I'm just saying that you say, oh, it's not any of your business. But if I share it with you, it's your business, but not yet the world's business. Let's just say that.
That's the point I'm trying to get at. I mean, it must be scary for you because, like, a lot of times I think, and this is just, and I don't want to, I know that on one hand, people bring up the Playboy thing, but I guess the point I'm trying to say is, and I've said this before on the show, a lot of times when I've seen Playmates get interviewed, it's never on the Playmates' terms. Now, do you feel that that's the case? Have you had a lot of interviews that have been on your terms or rather somebody else's terms?
Well, yes. Do you mean when they ask questions, they're asking questions that might be offensive to where that means that that's not on my turf? Because I don't really have that happen too often, but I do get the same questions more when I'm traveling abroad. For example, when I was in China, with a lot of people in this big, huge space in an event, we had a microphone, and we were asked, do all the Playmates have to sleep with Hugh Hefner to become a Playmate? Yes, and, I mean, these are business people, and they're all in a business fire, and we have chaperones at these things. And she took the microphone away, and she just said, you know, no Playmates ever. That has never been a prerequisite, and no, and didn't have us answer it. So we're protected when it's a Playboy event. We're very protected like that. And they interfere with that, and they protect us from – you know, as much as they can, of us feeling vulnerable, let's say. But other than that, I really haven't had any bad interviews to where I feel like, oh, that was, like, really, that really hurt me, or that was offensive. No, it's not really that bad, Johnny.
I would think it would happen. I would think it would, you know, because I was like, well, see, what happens is that the first question is always something sexually oriented, and you may not be in the mood to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, it's good that you brought this up, though, because with the Dorothy Stratton movie coming out, it was just out Friday. I didn't see it, but it was a documentary about her death, and she came to Playboy completely. They had never met anybody more naive that was like a fish out of water, just a girl in a small town who worked at Dairy Queen for 4 years, and all of a sudden this guy was sending in pictures of her, and she wasn't really sure about it. She gets there, and I mean, she just didn't even know her own power of her sexuality, how powerful that can be. And it's really an interesting thing. But I feel when I did it, I had a lot of life experience already. I was 24 years old, and I had traveled. I had already modeled a lot, so I felt I was really ready for it. And I I knew what to watch out for. And but you know what? Hey, even being a very experienced model, you can still have weird people obsessed with you, and it can get out of hand, and it can be very scary. It can, because it's dangerous. It is dangerous.
Well, that's true. I mean, what's the closest, have you ever had yourself in danger, like a life or death experience?
Yes, I have, but I've had issues where people have become obsessed with me, and now I'm even having to be more careful being on the radio show because anybody can really find me pretty easily. So I'm more aware of it, let's just say, even now. Like, hey, I've been a Playmate for 27 years now, and I'm still getting new fans. I've had fans all these years, but I also am getting new fans. And we don't know who they are. We don't know what all these people are thinking. So we just have to be very careful. And you guys are very careful, too. My co-hosts, you, Kelly, and Karen have been very careful in letting me know if something seems off color with somebody who's
A person will get on the phone and they'll say something, and then, you know, I'm sure this is not, we're not going to mention names, but the person will say something and then we'll think, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right, you know.
Well, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Plus, it didn't even have anything to do with our show topic, for one thing, and I know what you're talking about. I know that moment, and it just throws you off because they'll ask some random question about Playboy and we're not even on that topic at all, you know, because I am somebody who has a lot more to offer than my Playboy stories.
I know. And
yeah.
So we sit there, and what happens is that we sit there like, I mean, now I think but I'm saying there's ever been a time when, like, one thing I've often heard is that there are models that have things like where they have things like slip in their drink. Have you ever heard of that happening?
Yes, I have had somebody. There's another thing, and they prick you on the arm or your body somewhere, and you don't even feel it because the room is so crowded, and you get pricked with a drug that the one out there right now that is prevalent is called Sleep My Beauty. Like Sleeping Beauty, where you won't remember anything and you will be lucky if you escape. And that did happen to me, and I did escape. And it's so frustrating because you don't remember anything. You remember
flashes
of things.
Do you mind talking about that? Or do you mind talking about
that? Well, I wasn't really
prepared
to talk about that today. I think, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a topic about that in the near future, and I'll get a couple
friends. My apologies, Barbara. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. It's my apologies.
Okay. But, no, that's a good idea, though, Johnny. We could promote it where we could get a bigger benefit out of doing a show like that, to where we could bring awareness to safety for people out in the entertainment business or any females out there.
Guess, yeah.
And let's promote it and bring a couple of other friends on that I know that have had that experience, and then that I think will be a bigger impact than just,
I guess the whole point of the question was that to make you uncomfortable. I hope I didn't do that.
Yeah. I wasn't really prepared for that today. But I don't mind doing it in the future when we plan it out and we have a couple of friends on that has happened to as well.
I hope it didn't make you angry or anything.
No, I mean,
but
it's
I agree,
question,
though,
it happens.
Yeah, I guess the point I'm trying to get at here is that there's a lot of sugarcoating that comes with women who pose for Playboy. And, I mean, there's a lot of really neat stuff that happens with it, you understand,
there are a lot of jobs like this one that I have with you and Kelly on the radio show that I'm thankful to you guys that you believe in me so much that you're not going to think, oh, well, we're going to have some problems because she's a Playboy playmate. We're going to have, you know, weirdos and obsessed people trying to call us off show hours and find out how to get a hold of me, and which has happened. And you guys still love me so much that, you know, you work with me on that and you protect me, because a lot of employers would think, oh, that's just going to be a problem and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then a playmate would lose an opportunity because of that. And that right there is real sad.
Yes. I mean,
so
it
thank
must
you.
Be, I mean, when you do this show, do you feel like it's liberating?
Yes, and I've never been afraid to, I've never felt like, oh, I'm going to get on the show and somebody's going to call and ask me a weird question, because I think you do a great job of screening the calls. And but then again, there are the majority of people out there that respect us and would never do something like that. So I've never felt fearful of doing the show at all for that reason.
What went through your mind the first time you were going to be on it?
Oh, I was so excited, and I feel like how I feel when we get new guests on, and they, I can sense that they're not used to the radio, and they feel like they're always talking on top of somebody else or interrupting, because that's so easy, like we were talking about. You can't see their body language. You're not sitting side by side. You can't see their, when they're talking, and their lips, their mouth moves, so, but it's kind of cool. After a while, you just get used to how somebody talks and makes their point. You kind of know, okay, they're finished. And even though it still happens, but we just, I think we work together so well. We roll with it. But I felt that. That's to answer your question. I felt that in the beginning, like, oh, I don't want to, you know, interrupt or talk on top of somebody. But that kind of smoothed out right away. And I just,
right.
Okay, I really look forward to doing it every day. And you know those couple times where we didn't have a show, and I said I didn't know what to do with myself? It was true. I wasn't being facetious. I didn't know, I did not know what to do with myself, and I felt empty, this emptiness, because I always listen to the show right after we do it. And you post it right away on YouTube, and so I listen to it right afterward, and it's fun. And then I listen to that, and I always get something out of it, even though I'm doing the show, because you miss it. So it's fun to re-listen to it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that's something. You learn. You learn something every time. So just from us all sitting, we just talk. We always
my favorite
touch upon
time, one of the favorite things that I love that you do is when you have your daughter on with you.
Oh, yeah?
She brings out a great side to you that I like. Not that you're not doing otherwise, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's like you bring on Baby Boo, and then you know, just sort of, I mean, I saw the picture of you. I showed my mom the picture of you in Priscilla together, and I said, this is Barbara and Priscilla. Oh, that's a good picture, you know?
That's so sweet. Well, I hope that you hear that side right now, because she's sitting right here beside me.
Oh,
hi,
really?
Baby Boo. Yes. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, good. You know what? We just had a wonderful time going and seeing birds, and we held this wonderful bird, and it was loving us. Those make great pets.
Why do you like birds so much?
I don't know why I like them. They're just so cute. I don't know.
Well, they're a challenge, because to try to get one to sit on your finger or love you, that's a challenge. And by the time it does that, they love you so much. It's just like any other pet, Johnny. It's like
and also wear the lollipop.
Friendlier than a kitty cat sometimes. The lollipops are in a dish. They're in a, the lollipops are in a candy dish in the house, and the lollipops are getting prepared for Halloween. That's where the lollipops are.
Oh, so you're going to give them out to trick-or-treaters and tell them about the show?
Yes, we're going to actually trick-or-treat with the lollipop. So we're going to be trick-or-treating, asking for a treat, and handing a treat out. Right, baby?
Oh, you're going to go trick-or-treating. You're going to go trick-or-treating with Priscilla. Is Priscilla going trick-or-treating?
Oh, yeah. We never miss that, do we? And then Mommy goes. She's looking at me. Sometimes Mommy's had some, you know, fun party to go to, so we had to cut the trick-or-treating short. But, hey, that's the life of a single mom. We're
well,
going to go trick-or-treating.
What are you going as this year?
I'm going to be a scary doll. I'm going to wear her outfit that she wore last year. What was that doll called?
Scary doll.
Scary doll. And we don't know what she's going to be yet, but I have about 50 costumes in my bins and storage that I can choose from because I used to model those costumes, you know, the pretty sexy costumes. So she says, ooh, well, what's wrong? I mean, you got to sell them, and models do that. So I have tons that they've given me, a lot of really cute cat suits with the tail and the ears. And we just have a lot to choose from. But anyway,
it's a shame nobody can find a microphone costume. Wouldn't it be neat if you could go as a microphone because you have a talk show?
Yeah. Okay. We should do a Life, Laughter, Happiness. The three of us should do that when we're together once for Halloween. You, me, and Kelly.
We go dress up as a microphone?
Yeah. One can have a on-air live sign. One can have, be a microphone, and one can be earphone, right?
Let me see if there's such a thing as a microphone costume. Let me see here.
Okay. But you were going to ask me how I stay positive through. Okay, back to that other question that you had while you looked. You said you wanted to know how I stay positive when I have a problem, such as a obsessed person, or let's say I have an obsessed person. That's very interruptive. That's something that I have to take time to deal with. And it doesn't get me down so much that I have the obsessed person, like I'm afraid or all that. The worst part of it for me is that it's taking up time from me being productive because I have to deal with that. And then I start to get a little angry over that. And that's what always gets me down because I love to work and I love moving forward and getting things done. And when somebody is being so selfish to harass me and that's taking up my time, then I get angry. So I have to calm myself down from that. So I just use the exercises that we talk about on the show. I take deep breaths and I write down what I need to do to fix it. So I have those tasks I do, fix it, get those done, and then, you know, you just have to head straight towards the problem and attack that problem, get it straightened out, do what you need to do to fix it the best you can, and then get back to your normal life. And it is, it's just life. But how do I stay positive?
But I mean, it
and
must
not
be hard.
Be
I
down?
Think the thing is that you're probably worried for your safety, you know, and
well,
it's
yeah, but
kind
if
of
I
like.
Know I'm safe, if I know I'm safe, I'm just more mad about the time it's taking to go the extra route with all those precautions. That's what makes me mad.
Because you can't do other things that you would normally do, that you would love to be doing. Like I know that I got you that video software, and I know you do make good videos, by the way.
Thank you.
You make good use out of it.
Well, I'm coming up with a lot more ideas, but the thing with that is I have to figure out the one-liners and slogans and the tagline. So it's more about the creativity that I have a challenge with working for other companies and making their videos is what would they want me to point out, you know, but the creativity and the designing, that part to me, that part is the easy part. The designing is the fun, easy part. The part that's harder is the part where I have to figure out what the taglines are. That's the harder part. But I thank you for that software, and I'm having a good time with it, and I like it a lot, and there's a lot of things I can do with that. And people are pretty impressed with it.
Has anybody asked you to make a video for their company?
Yes, they have.
Really? So they've offered to pay you? Or they offered to pay you?
Well, in a certain way, like trade, yeah. And I've been offered it, and I did it, and I got the trade, and I made 3 really nice videos for them, and they were very happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know that I helped you get some form of income outside the show.
That seems to be filling for you.
I mean, because you said yourself, you don't want to do anything unless it's not with the show. Have you noticed that? Did you say that one time?
Yes. Well, I like to spend about 4 hours a day with promoting the show and sending out the social media. And sometimes I don't have that much time for it, but that's what I would prefer to do only. I always do my shoots. I call it shoot and sell, so I'm doing that. But my main goal right now is to build this show up and get more people and more listeners all the time, every day, and it is. And I think we're really successful at doing that right now, all of us. We're all doing our part. Kelly's really good at promoting it. You're good at all the technical stuff and scheduling and letting us know when we need to fill shows and making sure we're always coming up with great ideas.
I will say this, though. I'm curious to know, do you ever look at old shows?
I listen to old shows all the time. All the time. And, in fact, it's bugging some of the friends that hang around me all the time because they're like, you're listening to your show again? And I'm not doing it because I'm vain. I'm doing it because I'm getting ideas of promotions and cross promotions with people that we've had on. And it's all about networking. And then also you learn, okay, this is how this show went. How can I make it better? And I'm doing this constantly. And people have said, you're listening to that show again? Do I have to show one of our old shows?
If you had to show one of our shows to a room full of business people, which one would you show it to?
Which show? Okay, that's a very good question.
This room full of business people. So you have to choose which show you would show them.
Let's see. Right now, the one that I am showing a lot is the one about vaping with Terry Grant, Offbeat and Unique. It was super informative. I feel good about the questions I was asking. I feel like you guys all, we all were a part of it equally, pretty much. Maybe I was talking a little more because it was an interview show, but we all had great questions. And that went really well. Plus, it was a very great businessman that we had on, Terry Grant. And so it's very professional. So if it's business people, I would send them that right now. And then another one for the entertainment, if it was a bunch of entertainment people, I would send them the one with Clinton Wallace, who was the Lifetime Achievement Award winner, photographer, and filmmaker, and who has the films in Cannes, at the Cannes Film Festival. That would be great for entertainment. Now, if they're a bunch of spiritual people, or something like that, I would have to listen to some, because even with the guided meditations and the chakra healings, we talk about half an hour afterwards, and we have great spiritual talks, all three of us. So I'd have to look through and find my favorite of that.
Okay, let me ask you this. What has been your biggest surprise with the show?
Let's see. Well, I liked it when we had Joseph Dairo, it ran with Cairo, so it was Daiso?
Joseph Dairo.
Dairo, okay. Yes. I liked it. He saw some things in me that nobody ever has, and that was a wonderful surprise.
He really knew me. Speaking of which, he's doing something with us on November the 11th. Isn't that right, Barbara?
That's right. Do you want to talk about that?
I'll let you do the talking.
Do you still want to keep it a surprise? What was that?
No, I mean, I don't think we should keep it a surprise. We should promote it. We should talk about it. What is it that you're doing, Barbara?
Okay. Well, you came up with the idea, so you're going to get the credit for it, but I'm getting the people together for it. We're going to have several Playboy Playmates, over 5 Playmates. Right now we have 5 booked and confirmed, but on November 11th, which is 11-11, we are going, yes, which is special, we are going to have Joseph Dyro back on, who's a medium, and we are going to do a tribute show to the former makeup artist, Alexis Vogel, who has passed away this last April, who we just all adored and loved so very much. And she passed away. It was a shock. Nobody was ready for it. Nobody had any warning. And we are going to talk to her. And we're going to talk to her through Joseph Dyro because he is an amazing psychic medium. And, I mean, when he was on, that's why I was so surprised, Johnny, because he knew the person that I was talking to, wanted to talk to. More than any medium I've ever talked to, I felt what a major connection that was. And he felt like, I felt like he really knew me, and he was going to be the one to do this. And I chose him because of that, for this special tribute to Alexis Vogel. And
now, let me ask you this. Are you a Beatles fan? Are you a Beatles fan?
Yes.
Okay. Many years ago, we had a medium on. I was a musician. And what happened was, and if you want, maybe when he comes on, you can tell some of your friends to call in if they're Beatles fans. Well, he was a musician.
Okay.
And then out of the blue, he started getting in touch with George Harrison. George Harrison started contacting him. And then after a while, he was being contacted with John Lennon. And so I'm going to have him on soon. I mean, you know, I go down the list of mediums, so it's going to be interesting to see. And I think one of the things I like is the way that Kelly says that. I think the reason that Kelly feels, you know, likes this, to do a show every day is because when she does a show, it wakes her up and makes her happy. It gives her a sense of, it eases her stress. I mean, if she were here, she would be mad that I'm saying this because she said this before. You know, I could have a bad day and then all of a sudden, you know, I go on the air and I'm happy. You know, I tend to look at it as, sort of like, you know, I'm not, I mean, is that how you kind of feel it when you go on the air?
Yes, I do. And just that, you know what I love is when we help people, and even the psychic days where I'm not really doing a lot of the talking or interviewing, it's okay. I'm there for support or to move along the show, whatever you need me for. But those people, when they call in and Karen helps them, and they're in tears sometimes when they call, and they've looked everywhere, and they're spiritual people. They may have, you know, they have God in them, but they just need that extra little confirmation and just a little help. And when we give that to them, it just is such a warm feeling in my heart. And then we do the guided meditation with Kelly. Well, I get the same feeling with that too. But you know what I was thinking is if we could have callers after the guided meditation sometimes call in to just tell us how they feel.
Well, yeah, if people are listening in, I mean, you know, I think that we should do that. I mean, I know that sometimes, you know, but what's so funny is like with Kelly, a lot of things were more of, I think with Kelly, you know, it was kind of a surprise for her. I kind of sprung the old co-host thing on her. And she was kind of like, what? Did you see those?
I know.
I mean, it was liberating for her to be able to talk about these things. And, you know, and
wouldn't it have been terrible if you would have said it? Because she said when you first were telling her that she was the co-host, she was thinking, did he really mean that? Did he say that by mistake? Well, thank God you did really mean it. But I mean, it's a big deal.
No.
This is like reaching tons of people.
Is,
she's
yeah,
on every single day.
I mean, it was sort of one of those situations. It was one of those relationships that sort of grows and evolves. And then it was like, you know, it felt really good to know that, you know. And I think when and also it's good that she has Karen. I think, honestly, you know, I was saying to her that you know, when we get to, I mean, I just had this image in my mind of us, you know, of us all getting, you know, staying in a hotel talking to each other, and then we book Karen and Kelly in a room together, and we can hear them laughing, you know.
Uh-huh.
They probably hear them laughing on the way, because I mean.
You know what also is cool about Kelly and you and how you found her? You didn't even really know that. Did you know that she was doing chakra healing? I mean, tell me about it again. She came on this show as a guest, but was it
okay.
As a person doing chakra
well,
healing?
What happened was, this is kind of how it happened. She did my chakras, okay? And then, but she kept asking, the first time I met her, did I tell you about the first time she did my chakras?
Well, I saw it. It's on. It's one of the ones that was on the platform Blue Jeans where I saw you guys. I saw you in your room. It's on
right.
YouTube, right?
But did I tell
okay,
you the
yes.
story about what happened the first time she did it? Ever?
You did probably, but I don't know what part of the
okay.
story you're talking about.
Okay, here's what happened. I've been having some financial problems. And then what happened was that I just get her on the phone and we start talking and she goes, well, if you like, I can do your chakras. And I'm thinking, chakras? What is this? You know, what's this business about,
wow.
you know, a medallion and all this other stuff? What is she talking about? And she goes, just lay in bed and, you know, lay down. And then, you know, and I hear the guy that was doing it with her, Tim, was doing it. Actually, what it is he was doing my, he was doing it, and then Kelly was describing it. So the whole time this is going on, I hear this guy coughing and wheezing, okay? It was like The Exorcist. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was like, listen to this kid. And then what happens is I get a phone call from him the next day saying that they think I might have been under some kind of demonic attack. Or something.
Wow.
And I know, it was to that level. It was the second hardest cleanse they ever did. So I'm thinking, okay, well, what does that mean? Is it, well, we got rid of it, but we think that you might have been under some attack, right? So I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm, you know, just, I just sort of smiled and I said, okay, thank you. Yeah. So I go out walking. Now, do you remember the story?
No, I don't remember,
okay.
So I'm listening. I want
okay.
you to tell
I go
me
out
this
walking.
Book again.
Okay, so I go out walking, and then I go up to a gas station, and then out of nowhere, this car, this minivan pulls up to me, and out walks this woman, okay? And she walks up to me, and then she goes, you look like you could use some extra money here, and she hands me $3, okay? And I'm
yes,
thinking, I'm thinking
that.
To myself, huh? What?
Do you think she thought you were homeless or something?
I don't know. So I walk home, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I hope that, you know, I get a ride home. And then sure enough, car comes out of nowhere, gives me a ride home. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know what I can do when I get home. But I don't know what I'm going to do with this $3. Maybe I'll just get myself a lottery ticket, you know. So I start walking back to the gas station, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, I sure hope somebody sees me and gives me a ride back to the gas station. Sure enough, one of my friends pulls up out of the corner, gives me a ride, takes me to the gas station. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, for this $3 to work, I have to get more money back than what I did. So I'm going to buy a lottery ticket. I go in there and I buy a lottery ticket, and then I win $6. And I've come to the conclusion that I think that the reason I see that what happened as a big deal is I'm all for people being nice to each other, but what I don't think is a good idea is for people to be nice to each other for the sake of compromising their safety. And I don't think a lady pulling up to you in a car, getting out, and then handing you money is safe. I mean, if you want to do something nice, you know, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But be safe about it. I wouldn't tell you. I don't think you should do that. I don't think your daughter should do that. I think, you know, and I think anybody that does that is kind of an act of faith. You know, because after the lady gives me the money and I thanked her, and she goes, don't thank me, thank God. And then she gets into the car and she drives away. But anyway, so I called, and this is another aspect of the story that sort of stuck with me. My mom, she wrote a book, a small e-book about my grandmother, okay? She passed away many years ago, but she was a devoutly Baptist lady, you know. And on the back of the book that she gave us, there was a picture of my grandmother at around 40 or something, you know, 40-something, 41 or 45 or something. I forgot how old she was. And I saw that picture, and I immediately thought of this lady when I saw the picture. That it almost looked like my grandmother, that it was just eerie, you know, resemblance to my grandmother. So, but there were other things, like I noticed about Kelly that kind of stuck out. See, I have this robot dog named Severe. I don't know if I ever told you about Severe before. Did I ever tell you about Severe?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a robot. It's this robotic thing, robot dog, and it responds to like 1,000 commands. And it'll take your picture. It'll, you know, do tricks and everything. Well, I just started testing Kelly, and I said, okay, Kelly, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me what you see. Severe. And not knowing about the dog or anything, she goes, I'm getting this face, but it's not a human face. So she was able to detect that I was talking about something. This was Kelly. This is Kelly. This isn't even Karen.
Yeah.
This is Kelly.
Well, I know she has this.
So when I started to do the show again, I realized that I had a little bit of a problem. The problem was that I had this show, but it didn't really feel like it was a show because, you know, we would be on, I would go on like every couple of weeks, every couple of months, some cases every couple of years. I mean, it didn't feel like it was a show, you know?
Right.
It felt like it was some podcast, you know? So what I decided to do was I decided, okay, well, you know, I haven't seen anybody else that, I mean, I've seen psychics do shows, but I haven't seen any other chakra days, you know, anybody else getting the chakras on the air.
Right.
So I said to Kelly, I said, Kelly, how'd you like to have your to do some of the chakras over the air? Now, in the past, when Kelly has done my chakras, she always says, when are we going to do this again? And I realized that I was talking to somebody who really, really loved doing it, you know, profoundly
right.
loves doing it. So I decided that, okay, well, if she loves doing it, then I guess we can bring on the air. And we bring on the air, and she did Linda's, DT's chakra day. And then halfway into the cleansing, somebody calls in. Well, I didn't want Kelly to do one right after the other because I felt that would be too energy draining.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the lady and I said, well, we can have you do a shock cleanse, just maybe not today. We'll just book one for tomorrow. And then I realized something interesting. I realized that after a few times that Kelly was allowing me to do the show on a regular basis. She was allowing
right.
the show. It was becoming more of a consistent
schedule.
Show.
Right.
And it's sort of funny because I and what's so funny is that when I told her we were going to have a medium on, that was such a funny conversation because she was like, oh my god, I want to be able to talk to my mom. Oh my god, I want to be able to talk to my mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Kelly, calm down.
Exciting
you know?
Though, isn't
but,
it? Exciting
well,
when
I
somebody
remember,
wants to talk to
remember,
somebody's past and they're able to.
But I remember a similar conversation with you. Remember that? The first time you came on and you said you're having a what kind of psychic on? Oh, I want to be on tomorrow too. And you had already been the guest host. And, I mean, when did you realize that you wanted to be co-host? I knew you loved the show, but when did you realize that you wanted to actually be co-host?
Oh, wow. I would have been co-host from the first time when we were – oh, we got so engrossed in the conversation, me with Kelly, when she was cleansing my chakras and I was healing from that horrible accident. I thought, wow, this would be really cool to be a part of this more often because I believe in it. And how could I really answer that, Johnny? Because I didn't even know that was a possibility to be a co-host. So I wasn't even thinking that, but I was thinking, oh, I really love this subject matter, and this is so fun to talk about.
Well, this
is
kind of what
it just kind of happened.
This is what it is that you were very, very smart. You knew our history. You knew that other people had taken the wrong approach to trying to get involved, and then you understood. You were like, hey, listen, I just want to help out, but I don't want to take over. And I think that's the way to do it, because
I think maybe
that,
you had told me about, but I can't even remember if I knew about that at the time when you asked me to be the co-host. You two called and asked me. I didn't know that at the time.
Believe me, before we called Kelly, I told you about what happened, and I said, you know, you need to understand that this is, you know, there are a lot of people that have tried to just take over. I mean, and I think that, you know, it's also to do with helping out, but not wanting to be. I've never wanted, you know, the show to feel like it's a slave ship, you know. Like, for example, yesterday, you know, when we didn't do a show, you were spending time with your daughter. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, you have every right to – it's not like you were off smoking crystal meth. I mean, you know, you were
so funny.
That would be a great thing. That would be a great Facebook post, though, wouldn't it? We can't do it. We would love to do an uplifting, motivational Facebook show tonight where everybody feels so happy and dancing in the rainbows. But, of course, Barbara's doing crystal meth, so we can't do it.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be.
Or maybe we could have her on anyway.
That would be so weird. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? But hey, that does happen. People later in life, my uncle, he got hooked on crystal meth at 50, and we all, our whole family, had to go in and do an intervention on him, and it worked. It worked. He left that day to the rehab, and he has never touched it again. It's been like 12 years, but this does happen.
I honestly don't get that because I mean, it's obviously addictive and it's obviously illegal. I mean, why would somebody want to do something like that?
Why would somebody who has it all together, for example, why would somebody like me with a beautiful child and I love my life, I love where we live, we're happy, even try it? But people do, and I don't get it either, Johnny, but they try it, and then sometimes it just takes that one time and they're hooked on it.
Yeah,
that's
well, one time would probably do it.
We could have a show on some recovered people.
What's also is scary though is that and this has happened to me, is not just illegal drugs but like prescription drugs. See, sometimes you can take a prescription drug and then it can affect you in ways that you may not even be aware of. Like, when the person is very obsessive compulsive, okay, and they get treatment for it, sometimes you can get rid of the obsessive compulsiveness, but something takes its place. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. I mean, you're so used to worrying about something. You're so used to spending every day worrying about something. And then somebody sets it up to where you don't have to worry about that anymore. It suddenly takes the place. You start acting differently or acting weird. Well, many years ago, I was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, okay? And I got, they gave me a medicine called anaphenil. And the first time you take it, you feel like you're invincible. I mean, it got rid of the OCD. You know, it didn't get rid of it. But it made me feel like I was invincible. But see, here's the problem. Okay, and Barbara, this is the important thing to remember, is feeling invincible is not always a good thing, because it means you don't care about the problems of your friends or the things that they're going through. I mean, it's kind of like if I acted like I didn't care when you talked about your fall, okay, that wouldn't have been very nice, would it? You see what I'm saying?
No.
I mean,
so what you're saying,
you
it
basically
gives you false confidence. The drugs give you false confidence, and it messes
well, I mean,
up.
See, but now the drugs are better. They just have the effect. Now, I do worry about things like, like, for instance, every time I've told somebody about your fall, they always go, oh, my God. Because seriously, I'll bet when you fell down those steps, you were thinking, am I going to die?
Yeah.
You know, because falling down the steps can certainly kill you or leave you paralyzed. Or,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just a very scary time. And I did.
Oh yeah, and I also I had PTSD for a few days, like maybe a week. But you never know, is that going to last forever? And you get this anxiety feeling. And
right.
I even had that after Petal Rose died, because I saw the body, and oh, I had it for a few days after that too. But what makes a person strong to where they can overcome those feelings, and some people cannot? That's the question, and that's what you were trying to ask me, like, how do I not get depressed or not down, and I don't, and it's natural. I have a natural ability, but I'm blessed because I have that, but that doesn't mean that I judge other people who can't get through something without spiraling down in a depression.
Right.
I understand
the point I'm trying to say is that I worry. I still worry. but I don't check things over and over again. But here's the point I'm trying to get at, is that I want to understand how it felt, because you're my friend and I love you, how it felt when you fell down those stairs, because it bothered you. It really, really bothered you. I mean, one, you're a model, and you know, this is your career is based on how you look, and two, you might be thinking, am I going to die? Is Priscilla going to be alone? Am I going to, you know, what about Priscilla? What about, and you know, there were other things, you know, you really didn't have, it sounds like you really didn't have a whole lot of people that you could talk to about the bruises. Am I right?
Not at that time, because I was in a state that I really didn't have any friends. So, yes, I felt very alone. I had my little girl, but she was going to school every day, and she would come home and get me an ice pack or make me something to eat. But, oh, my gosh, wow, I had nobody. And that you guys came along. See, that's what I think. I truly believe in karma, because all the good I've ever put out, when something bad happened to me, then some good came, and you guys came along, and then I didn't feel alone anymore, because you guys came along. I fell on March 19th, April 3rd, I did my first chakra healing. That was only 10 days or something after I got hurt, and there you guys were. I mean, what a blessing. And then I got,
you know, maybe,
I wouldn't call it a job. It's a career. It's a career move, having this radio show. And I got a whole new career from the fall. Really, I thought it was. I mean, you were just trying to get a hold of me because, you know, you were trying to get some celebrity models, playmates on. And I thought it was because you heard about my fall and you were trying to heal me.
Well, yeah, I didn't even hear about your fall, but one of the things I liked about it was I was willing to talk to you about several things, not just your fall. I mean, you know, because obviously you couldn't go on our show and talk about the fall every day, but I mean, we gave you the ability to talk about a lot of different things, and when I say a lot of different things, I'm not going to, obviously, you know, you've been in the media before, and people have gone up to you, and they've asked you about things, and maybe there's a thing that sort of old hat, you're kind of tired of it, you know? But, I mean, you're getting kind of tired of it a little bit, and then I think that's the whole point of it goes back to the your terms for the interview, because
yes.
I want you to feel like that it's sort of like, well, listen, Barbara doesn't have to talk about that. I mean, if she wants to talk about that, she can, but she doesn't have to. I mean, this is why I think, honestly, this is why I think the show is appealing to you and your friends who are playmates, because what it is they are basically, they're being given a chance to being interviewed on their terms. Like, I'm curious, what do your friends or playmates say after they've been on the show? Do they say anything to you, like what they think or how they feel?
They're brought aware of what I'm doing, because maybe they hadn't known. And what they always say is something more about me, like, wow, you've always been a positive person, Barbara, but I really noticed that since you've been on the show, it's like changed you. Like any kind of problem, you handle it a lot more with confidence, and you're more calm. You might not think that, Johnny, because you talk to me every day, and I just, whatever I'm feeling, I just let it all out there. And then you think, oh, wow, she was upset. But I'm sorry, I kind of use you as a soundboard, and I'm able to vent, and you don't mind, do you?
No. I mean,
okay.
You know, it has to do with, well, you know, and I know you're saying you're talking about venting, you know, and it's funny that you bring up this topic, because we've had shows where we talk about this very topic with Kelly. You know, I don't know if you remember or not. I mean, for a long time, Kelly would tell me, she goes, I can't say how I feel because, you know, the emotions are going to be used against me. Believe me, this goes for both of you. I would never want you to sit there and say, I can't tell Johnny that. I've never wanted the show to be like it was a situation where it was a guy and I think that's one of the reasons why it seems kind of appealing to your friends, because I don't want it to be a situation where it's Johnny's Angels, you know. I want it to be a situation where everybody's sort of on an equal playing field. So when we've had like your friend Miss Sand on, you know, who I think is wonderful to interview. I mean, you know, I would love to see her her other daughter on. I think that, you know, there's a lot of sense of almost like, well, you know, you don't have to hide. You don't have to.
Right.
But I want the interviews to be on the terms of the woman being interviewed, not just somebody else's terms. And I think that a lot of times in the past, the interviews, I don't know if I would say that they've been on your terms, because what happens is that I've seen some of the interviews that you've given by other people, but it seems like to me that when you have a playmate, a lot of what happens is they put the playmate in a position because she's in a playmate, and they don't care about what may be going through her mind or what may be going on in her life or what she may be thinking about, or is there something that's keeping her awake at night, you know?
Right.
Is she losing sleep at night over something? You know, nobody has ever – I don't know how often playmates get asked these questions. Like, is there something that worries you so much? So I'm going to ask you this question, and you don't have to answer it, but I'm only asking you this to let you know that you have the ability to answer it, okay? Is there something that gets you so stressed out that it keeps you awake at night?
Not anymore, and that is unbelievable, because I don't want to say what it is, but it used to. Oh, I would get the worst stomach aches, and I'd get up in the middle of the night, and I would just think, oh, no, oh, my gosh, this is happening. Oh, geez, what am I going to do? I don't anymore because of this show, because I have now tools to use, and you know what those tools are? In my brain, it's the power to stay positive, because nothing, I won't let anything affect my peace of mind to where I can't sleep anymore. And I am different because of it. Because you know what? If you believe you're going to be okay through something, you will be. And it's a big part of manifestation. But the positive mindset and the positive attitude of you knowing and thinking the right thoughts, you will be okay. So that's what Elkie really noticed about me big time, is that you never worry anymore, Barbara. Wow, this is amazing, because she's
great.
My best friend. She's with me all the time. So, yes.
Well, why
don't
you talk about when
really
you're worrying? I mean, so in other words, you would have trouble sleeping?
Yeah. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, be worried. I'd have stomach aches. You know, stomach aches, that's a thing from worrying. You get stomach aches.
Okay.
Not really headaches. Stomach aches with me always. And then I don't have that anymore. That is out of my life. And you know what? It's like the same kind of problem. You know, it's not like a huge, horrible, life-threatening problem, but it's around most people.
Was it always
and
a part of your life?
No, different times. It's not, okay? Don't try to guess what it is. I told you I don't want to talk about the actual.
No. I'm not gonna. I mean, this is your, like I said, your term. I mean, I'm not gonna force it out of you, okay? I mean, this is your term, okay? You decide what you want to talk about. If you don't want to talk about it, that's your choice. But that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, is that I think sometimes these interviews are. With models like you, it seems like they don't really care about your feelings so much. They just want you to, I mean, you pose for a picture,
so you're a piece
you know,
of meat,
they don't care.
But you're just like, they think you're a piece of meat, and you're just, since you are attractive and you've been in the pages of Playboy, that you don't have feelings. And
don't
that
care about
anything.
Like, yeah, like, like I remember one time I saw a hotline where people could call in, and one of the celebrities that they got to talk to was Terry Lynn Doss, and I saw a negative rating that somebody left her. She goes, "You'd think she'd be more open being she posed naked on the magazine." I'm thinking, first of all, she has feelings. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and yes, okay, she posed nude for a magazine, but you need to be respectful. You know, it's also what I like to call meeting you halfway. I mean, let me explain to you another way of looking at it. Obviously, when I see your pictures, I mean, it's saying, look at me in a sexual way. You know, when we see some of your pictures, it says that. However, I also look at it the way, well, you know, she seems okay with me looking at her in a sexual way. Maybe we should try looking at her in some other way. Maybe we should let her be looked at in a way of as a mom or as somebody that cares about certain issues like vaping. Or, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you are willing to be looked at sexually. So let's look at you another way. Let's look at you another way. And I think a lot of guys aren't willing to meet you halfway. They see you sexually, but then they don't want to get past that. And I think that, am I right in saying, that's what I think. I think it's appealing. I think that's why the show seems to appeal to women a little bit, that they get listened to on their terms. And I think that your friends are interviewed on their terms. I mean, when you're interviewed, when your friends have been interviewed, I mean, what do they say after being interviewed? I know I'm not talking about what they say about you. I'm talking about what they say about being interviewed.
Oh, well, they say that they feel very thankful that they had a place where that they could talk about what they're doing and promote it. And they always say, wow, this is really great what you guys are doing. Because when they come on to be interviewed, I always send them a sample show to listen to, a few, so they know the different things we do. And so they know. And then they say, I think it's really, really good what you guys are doing. And then right afterwards, when I call them after the show is over, they say, wow, that really was life-changing. Or, you know, like you say, people never usually want to ask about me. They want to just know about what I've done in Playboy and my modeling. But they feel like really cared about for who they are inside. So that's pretty much it, what I hear. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I mean,
then they get inspired. They want to do their own podcast. And I'm encouraging them, but they don't really know what all goes into it, because there's quite a bit. And
well, I think that there's
like
a lot of things that makes our podcast what works. You know, it's that we're a community.
Yes, we are. But we are a community. And, yeah, we'll never run out of topics, because how can you? Just like, every time we have a show, like, for example, the Joseph Dyro, when he was telling me about, there's always a sign, like you see butterflies, and he goes, I always get a sign. And then the next day I started getting signs about unicorns, because somebody called me a unicorn as a nickname. And then the next day my daughter didn't even know that. She gave me a unicorn bracelet. And the next day, somebody said something else about unicorns. And I wrote this all down. I was looking through this while we were
on
the
phone.
Why did
they call you a unicorn?
I have a journal. And that's what I was thinking, okay, because Joseph Dyro said, oh, you'll see a sign when something means something. So then I think, okay, well,
why did they call you a unicorn?
That's, I don't know, something to do with being magical and something very magical. And so that's why I was going to try to look into that and unicorns, and then, but look into it further. Like, well, if I'm more in touch with spirituality, then will I be able to figure out what that means? So there's always something that leads you to more in depth soul searching, which is totally cool.
Well, I will tell you,
so that's
this.
Where
I
am at.
The only other time that I've ever heard somebody compared to a unicorn was apparently somebody kissed Megan Fox in a movie, and they said it was like kissing a unicorn. And, but, you know, it is sort of, I sort of look at it as kind of like this. Unicorns are beautiful, magical, benevolent creatures. They're kind of creatures that are very powerful, but they're beautiful, but they're also benevolent. They're the kind, it's sort of like usually when you walk up to a lion, you're scared to death. You know what the lion can do, but the unicorn, you pet the unicorn. That's what they say about unicorns, even though they're not real, that you pet them, they lean over and they'll let you pet it. And, you know,
I knew somebody who thought unicorns were real. I met somebody who thought that unicorns were real, and it was a man. I did.
Why did he think that they were real?
Gosh, they also thought the world was flat, and it was one of those types of people I found out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
kind of nutty,
I
guess.
People like that. Yeah, I've ran into people like that, and I've ran into people who think that we never went to the moon. You ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah, those are in the same, those are the people, the same, yeah, the conspiracy theorist people, they believe that, and they also believe that there was no thing, like the Jewish people were not killed.
Holocaust.
Yeah, they feel like that what didn't happen either. And those people are very frustrating to be around, very frustrating to be around because you cannot argue any facts with those people because you'll get nowhere and it just feeds the fuel. So I actually was very close to a person like that, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't be with that person. You just are not on the same page, same wavelength. See, that's why I was having to make sure that this show wasn't showcasing all those types of people, because maybe that's a form of paranormal. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of shows that showcase that kind of thing all the time, and I just don't know if I would have been able to do that.
Yeah, you need to understand that there's a lot of when you talk to people, you know, about the paranormal, you're going to run into a wide range of people. I've talked to people who were time travelers, who said they were time travelers, and they have said, I mean, they were saying all sorts of stuff. The thing is that I've interviewed a time traveler on the show. The thing that you need to understand is that people, what we do is, I think at some point you have to be able to say, okay, look, I have a feeling that, and I think this is what I told Kelly. If somebody represents something that you don't believe is true, okay, and you bring them on, I told Kelly, it would be almost like we were making fun of them.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's which isn't really what the show is about. In other words, like, the reason I would never bring a flat earther on is because I don't think the world is flat. Kelly doesn't think the world is flat. Karen doesn't think the world is flat. None of us think the world is flat. So if we brought on a flat earther, I mean, the only thing we would be doing is trying to stifle ourselves from laughing. And we're not, this isn't about teasing. This isn't really about laughing at people. You know, sometimes people believe things for very serious reasons. You know, they may be delusional. They may just simply be out of delusion. And it's really nothing funny about it. I mean, somebody thinks that, you know, I mean, it's one thing to think you're something. It's another thing to think you're something because of a chemical imbalance in your brain or something. And it's very sad. I mean, you have to have, you know.
Oh, it is very sad.
My
husband actually was like that, and I had to get a divorce over it. So yeah, it was pretty sad.
Now, what was you mind me asking? What were the things he was delusional about, or would you rather not talk about it?
No, I can. He didn't believe in that the Holocaust. He would even argue with his own father, who was Jewish. Okay, on the father's 80th birthday, he argued with the father about that and upset him. I said, why did you have to do that? He's Jewish. He has probably, his parents or grandparents probably were victims of the Holocaust, and you're trying to tell him that it didn't even exist? I mean, that's offensive. Then coming home for Christmas to my family, who they're all Christians, and start talking about, like, you know, he doesn't believe that Jesus is a spirit and things like that, which you know that they believe that Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So you don't come home on Christmas and start arguing with the Christians about Jesus. I mean, can't you just keep some things? And when you promise not to,
you couldn't get along with either side, is what you're saying.
You could not. And nobody. And also, then with the government, they think that somebody's against them, that it's directly against them personally, that the government is out to get them. And, you know, every problem they have, it's like they are being targeted personally. So that's hard. So you can't even talk to any, you can't even talk politics or the government, or that Lord knows they definitely don't vote. So you really start to find that you don't have anything in common. And then they start to realize, well, they think I'm weird, so I'm not going to tell them I think the earth is flat. So when I straight out asked him that, he said, oh, no, I don't believe that. But then we see on the computer, the screensaver is a picture of the flat earth. Oh, my gosh, was I ever upset when I saw that, because I thought, now there's really no hope. And, you know, a lot with they say, oh, they, you know, aliens. Yeah, I do believe that there could be aliens. But what else was it? There were so many other things, conspiracy theories. Oh, definitely. They thought the whole landing of the moon was not real. And you know what? That's really offensive to me, because Buzz Aldrin, he's a friend of mine. And, you know, he sat there.
Oh,
I was on a cruise. I was on a celebrity cruise. I was lucky enough to sit there right across from him on the ferry, and it was up in Alaska, and we had like an hour trip, and he told us every detail about landing on the moon from him across from the table. How wonderful is that? And I'd always see him around.
Do you think we might be able to get Buzz Aldrin on?
Maybe. I will try. I will try. And I've thought about that. Just please write these things down and remind me, because I have a lot of people I'm trying to get on right now, and just for me to just do it. So he is really cool. And he told me one time he was in Beverly Hills just, you know, doing an errand or something, and somebody started yelling at him that he was a fake and a fraud. And, oh, he got right back into that guy's face and told him off. He doesn't back down about this. Can you imagine? You work as an astronaut. You go to the moon, and then you come back, and people are telling you didn't really do that. I mean, oh, please.
Now, do you
that
know,
would be
you
horrible.
Want to know some of the best arguments? You want to know the best argument that I've heard that we went to the moon was?
What?
Okay. Mythbusters, I think it was the name of the show, they wanted to see. Here's the thing that a lot of people talk about. When they talk about this, they forget a lot of things. Okay, they say, well, you know, the moon could be fake doing this. The moon could be fake. The moon could be fake doing this. Blah blah blah. They aim all these things. The thing is, they're absolutely right. Everything they say is true. The moon landing could be faked this way. The moon landing could be faked that way. But let me finish what I'm going to say. We're talking about the year 2019, not the year 1969. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is, this is what they say, is to fake the moon landing in, say, the year 1969, that you fake it. It would be easier to just go to the moon than it would be to fake it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because the technology. You got to understand something, okay? You can't. Now, yes, you could fake it. It would be easy to fake. You see, I think actually the that's easy to fake. You could fake the moon landing and make it look very, very fake. But in the year 1969, you really couldn't do that. It would require so much technology, way more than what they had. The only thing I would love to ask Buzz Aldrin is this, though, and I this is the thing. Whenever anybody talks about the moon landing, they always talk about how everything went exactly as planned, you know, exactly as planned. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I would love to hear what didn't go as planned, you know, what were the surprises. Because obviously astronauts make mistakes. I mean, look at the Space Shuttle Challenger. So, it doesn't make scientists idiots if you make a mistake. I mean, you guys make mistakes. But I'm just curious to know, like, what did they get wrong? Like, did they – because you see, the problem that I have with some of the explanations that people say, well, you know, this is why there are no stars. Well, wait a minute. If there were stars, you would have. And I guess the whole point is that I believe you went to the moon. I do think that I understand why some people think we did it. We don't. But I think we did. I just think a lot of people don't realize how hard it would be to fake the moon landing. But they think, oh, yes, you can, but they think in terms of 2019 technology, not 1969, which is very, very different, you know?
Right. That totally makes sense, and very much so. So, yeah, they're thinking in the ways like, oh, well, yeah, that could be fake. Not back then. They didn't have retouching like they do now and all that, the special effects.
It would be very, very hard to do. It would be very hard to, I mean, you know, in 1969.
It is not impossible to land on the moon because they worked on it really hard and they did it. Like, why can't they believe that that could happen? Why is that so unbelievable?
I believe that they could. I just don't believe that it went without a hitch. And I've often wondered, like, what were some of the mistakes? Like, what were some of the things that they made with this moon landing? Like, what happened? Like, okay, well, we didn't anticipate this as much as we should have. I mean, making an error in math is totally human. People do that every day. So I was just curious. I would like to ask Buzz Aldrin, you know, if we get him on, you know, what are some of the surprises that happened with the moon landing? Like, what were some things? Well, we thought this was going to happen, but, you know.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Like okay. Let's try. Yeah.
Well,
so.
We're about out of time. But,
okay. Oh, Johnny, will you remember Microsoft. This one thing? I wanted to tell you, I was looking through my book because you wanted to know what show ideas that we had, and I always write them down. And then I see this letter, this kind of poem letter that I wrote for Karen for her birthday. And remember when we finally did her birthday show, I was really down that day because my cat was just killed. So I totally forgot about it and I didn't read it. Can you remind me when she has Psychic Day Tuesday to read this, what I wrote for her birthday?
What I'll do is I'll put it in the show description right now that you're going to read a poem to her, okay?
Okay. I can't believe I forgot all about this that I wrote. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do
that right
now.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
And let's do a shout out to Kelly to feel better. And I hope she's getting some good rest. And we can't wait to see her tomorrow.
Great. Talk to you, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks,
Barbara. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome. Thanks, Johnny. Have a good night.